it has been a long time.
Hi, Jim Laird here. Got Rommel back there in the background with me hanging out. It's a rather brisk day here in Lexington, Kentucky. It's okay, Rommy. Say hi. A couple months ago, Rommel.
Be nice. Be nice. Lay down.
A couple months ago, I recorded a podcast that was supposed to go on Body.io, Kiefer's website. And Kiefer and I had talked, and we decided that it was best that I start doing stuff for myself and develop my own brand. It's not good to develop a brand within a brand. So that being said, I'm super grateful that Kiefer allowed me to use this platform for as many years as he did. But he's absolutely right. It's time for me to start doing some of my own stuff and focus on that. And part of the reason, you know, I've struggled with creating consistent content online is in the podcast, I go into how I reduced my hours in January and how I downsized and simplified. And I've even downsized even further from that now. That podcast was probably done late summer. It was right after Heather Pistachio Stash's first powerlifting meet. And recently here, I've downsized even more, and partly because I needed more time to myself. I was in a car wreck and had some health challenges, and I needed some time to get myself in a better place. And then also I needed more time to be able to do stuff like this and to be able to get out to the farm. And I was still working too many hours a week. And when you're, if you're a coach and you're watching this, you understand, like, when you're working with 4 to 6 people an hour, 8 to 10 sessions a day, this is just too much. And I just didn't have the energy for myself or to do things like this. So you got to help yourself first before you can help other people. But this show I did with Heather is awesome. She's very honest about her struggles and her the process that she went through to get herself going in the right place, and the fact that she's still a work in progress, and we all are. You know, everyone has challenges in their life, and honestly, those challenges are what make us better. And a lot of people don't. This kind of podcast goes into the whole why people, you know, fail, or why people most don't get what they want. Most people don't embrace the process of constantly reevaluating yourself and constantly getting back to creating good, simple habits. And even with myself, I think one of the reasons I've been so successful and helping people kind of break out of funks is that I've had a lot of experience like crashing and burning and basically, you know, getting stuck and digging holes for myself. And then it just gets back to the basics, like creating these, okay, I've got out of this habit, I got out of that habit, I got to go back and I got to reestablish these habits. So I know there's a lot of people struggling out there. I know I struggle at times, everyone struggles at times. Everyone wants to think that this progress is linear, but it's not. It's up, it's down. So, you know, part of it is being consistent and then just getting back to basic, simple habits. So I hope you enjoyed this this podcast that I did with Stash. She had a great first powerlifting meet. And also, you know, I'm looking forward to starting to do podcasts again. I'm going to share stuff here on YouTube, and I'll probably start doing some Facebook Live stuff. But if you have any recommendations as far as what podcast platform, you know, where it has worked best for you, or anything along those lines, if you're a techie, that would be phenomenal. Please share that information in the comments below. Enjoy the interview.
Since I've been on here, it's been a long time. And I took a break because in January I restructured my business, simplified, cut some hours, cut out the classes. I'm just doing semi-privates now. The days of me working 10 to 12 hours in a day needed to die. And they did. And it sucked because I had to, unfortunately, move on from some people that I've been training for a long time that I really enjoyed working with. But, you know, I have to, in the end, practice what I preach. And I have to make sure that I'm able to take care of myself so I can continue to help other people. And also, a cool thing that I did is I had my website redone, and I've been working on doing some more YouTube videos, so you'll have to go check that out. If you just Google my name and Jim Laird, J-I-M, on YouTube, it'll pull up a bunch of videos that I've been doing lately, and all sorts of cool stuff like that. And then the website, you can check that out as well, gymlaird.com. Today, I have another one of my clients on here, and I really, really enjoy... We're outside, by the way, so you're going to hear some horns and traffic and cool stuff like that. Hi, Jimmy. That's Jimmy from Winchell's. It's the restaurant across the street. He has to show off his Corvette when he drives by. But, you know, I try to spend as much time outside as I possibly can, so I'm practicing what I preach and doing this podcast out in front of the gym. But I really like to have clients on here because, especially the women that I train, you know, the orientations that I've done over the last, you know, 10, 15, 20 years, it's the same thing over and over again. You know, working lots. Sometimes they have family, they're balancing jobs, kids. Self-care is neglected, and then they're trying to basically beat themselves into shape with exercise. So I have Heather Pistachio with me today, and I named her Stash, nicknamed her Stash, because Pachasco is only going to come out maybe once out of 30 times correctly. So, Heather, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Excellent. Heather came to me a number of years ago, and I believe you were working out somewhere else, correct?
No.
You weren't?
I was not at that time when I came to you, but okay. I had just finished working out somewhere else.
Oh, okay. So you'd finished working out somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
You did some kettlebell stuff, right?
Yes.
Okay. So why don't we tell, where'd you go to college? What do you do for a living? Let's start there.
Okay. Well, I originally moved down to Richmond in 2003. I went to Eastern Kentucky University and got my psych degree, then moved to Lexington. I worked in psych care for 11 years. Finally got out of there, thank God, and moved on. And now I'm at the VA here in Lexington taking care of our veterans. I work in outpatient surgery. Aside from that, I got a second degree in nutrition, and I've just been here ever since.
Okay, cool. So, you were working out at a kettlebell place, right?
Yes.
Then you stopped.
Yes.
Why'd you stop?
For a number of reasons. Some of them were more personal than exercise. I didn't want to return there because of a relationship that I had. Yes. So that relationship ended, and I knew that it wasn't right to go there.
That happens a lot. It happens a lot when you date somebody that works out at the same gym you do, and then you break up. It's like, oh... Yeah, who gets to keep the gym?
Well, he got to keep the gym because he was one of the trainers.
So that was another thing. I got you. Okay, I'm sorry.
That's okay. But we started dating before he worked there, so it's not like a...
Okay, that okay. Wasn't I got gotcha. You. I yeah. got gotcha. You. Okay, okay. This could be like Days of Our Lives.
Yes.
So what made you come to see me?
So, the funny thing is when I first started looking for my own gym to go to, I Googled, I think it was HIIT classes. And believe it or not, your name popped up.
That's hilarious.
And so I'm just kind of, you know, looking around online, and I've been to big box gyms. I've had personal trainers. I've trained in trainers' homes and this, that, and the other, but I saw you. I think I Facebooked you or emailed you and came in, had an orientation. Really liked, you know, what I heard, what I saw, everything that you told me. But for some reason,
Well, before you get to that, let's talk about what was the state of your being at that time?
Oh, it was terrible. Absolutely terrible. Working in healthcare, I've switched from day shift to night shift to swing shift to working overtime night shifts. I think when I came to see you, I was working night shift at the time.
You were.
And then thankfully I got moved to day shift. And then I had to go back to a really awkward 3:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. shift for about a year.
Gotcha. What do you remember about the first time we met?
Well, your orientation lasted about an hour, and you filled me with a lot of information that I would have never thought of. You talked about sleep, and I think I came in at like 11 and I was already tired and I was like, holy God, I know I'm going to be tired. And I mean, I worked out with you for a while I was still doing the 3:30 AM to 4 PM shift. But you said a lot of stuff that I really started to take to heart, talking about drinking water and getting outside and talking about
what did I tell you about your night shifts? Like, what did I tell you as far as what was going to happen if you continued to work nights, and as far as returns on your exercise investment?
Oh, that the likelihood of seeing any kind of progress, or, you know, it's going to be slim.
Right.
It's going to be a lot slimmer than getting a good night's sleep.
Had anybody ever told you that before at any of the places you were at?
No.
Okay. I gotcha. So basically, you know, we had our orientation, and then where did it go from there?
The first time or the second time?
Well, the first time. You came in, you did orientation, and what did you do? A couple sessions? A
couple sessions.
And then you disappeared.
And then I disappeared.
Okay.
Into the abyss.
Yeah. And, you know, I would email Stash every couple weeks and be like, hey, where are you, kind of deal. And I'm actually one of those coaches or trainers that, whatever you call me, I will actually put people on hold if I do not see them, just because I just don't feel right about just reoccurringly billing people over and over again if they aren't coming in. But I would email her and she said, oh, I'll be in next week, and then she would never show up. So How long did you go before you came back in?
I think it was about 6 months that I kept saying, oh, I'll be in. I'd sign up for a class and I'd cancel at the last minute, and oh, I'd be in. And then we finally put me on hold.
Mm-hmm.
I think I said, I'm not ready, but I hope that I can get a hold of you when I am. And then that was probably another 6-7 months went by before I got back in touch with you.
Yes, that's correct. And so what I did is I for all the months that she had basically paid for and never showed up, I credited that to her. A lot of people won't do that, but I just more or less try and treat people the way I would want to be treated. And sometimes that burns you. For example, I had two kids that were getting ready for, you know, they were free agents, and they were getting ready to try and make an NFL roster, and they didn't really have the resources to go to anybody. So they came to me and asked me for help, and I said, sure. I said, I'll work with you guys, and if you make an NFL roster, then you need to pay me this X amount of dollars. And if you don't, then that's fine. We'll just call it even. And the funny thing is they both made NFL rosters. The one guy even played in the Super Bowl. And I never heard from them again. But, you know, that's just kind of the risk you take sometimes. You be nice to people and you give a gift, and some people are going to take advantage of that. So that's just kind of the way it rolls. And then you have other people that you take care of them and they pay You know, Stash has definitely paid dividends with her, with how far she's come in her personal development and what she's brought to the gym. So why don't you tell me about, you know, after you kind of got yourself out of this place, you were kind of not in a very good place. When you came back and we started training, what was the difference between what you've been doing before and what we started having you do in the gym when you came in and started getting serious?
So the stuff that I had done before, it was all timed workouts. Some of them, you know, were your normal HIIT workouts where they promised you'd burn more calories during the day. Some of them were industrial strength, where, you know, you're lifting a little more weight, but you're still basing your workout on a clock. Coming here, comparing that, I mean, I don't even know if I really touched a weight for the first couple of sessions that I worked out with you, maybe a couple weeks, I can't remember. But it was just a lot of, like, let's see how your body moves, let's see how, you know, your body reacts to this kind of movement or that kind of movement, and I just did it. I mean, I knew there's dumbbells sitting over there, there's kettlebells sitting over there, I could lift that stuff, but the reason why I came back to gym was because I knew that I had to do something, and
I think something beyond just training too. I think you needed to kind of clean house a little bit.
Absolutely. I was a wreck, very reckless with my life, made terrible decisions. In psychology they call it codependency. I relied a whole lot on other people to validate who I was. And I just remember being at work one day and bending over to tie my shoe or something. I couldn't breathe. I was like, oh my God, I can't breathe. So I knew coming in here, you just have to listen to Jim. Don't touch a weight. You're not doing anything crazy. I mean, I don't even know if my workouts lasted more than 30 minutes, no. Like the first couple times that I came in here. But I left and I felt good. I went home. I didn't make the same decisions that I normally would when I go home at night, such as like drinking, staying up, eating crap. And I just followed that.
Yeah, and I think that's a big lesson to be learned is when you bring the exercise level down to where people are at and you get them feeling better and you get them focusing on, you know, being aware of sleep, being aware of drinking more water, then all of a sudden when people don't feel so shitty, they don't start medicating themselves with alcohol and ice cream and all this kind of stuff. It doesn't mean that's not going to happen. It's just over time, as the person gets healthier mentally and healthier physically, they start making better choices. Whereas if you just beat the shit out of somebody and give them, like, you know, high intensity exercise, or you smash them and they're already in a bad place, you're just going to make people medicate themselves even more. And then people just become more aware. And as they start to feel better, they can train a little harder. And then you just kind of adjust to where the person is at. And in the long run, if you can get people to buy into that, you have a much better result that's sustainable than if you just try and basically, you know, take a car that's broken and fix it by driving it faster. It doesn't really work that way. Would that be a good analogy?
Absolutely.
Okay. So at what point did you really start to see your body change? Because your before and after is pretty dramatic. At what point did you start to see, well, you know, I'm starting to feel better, my clothes are starting to fit better, and what kind of mental mind chicanery did you go through during this time?
So I had kind of worked on cleaning up my nutrition before I came in here. So I had that going for me. So that was already starting to make me feel better. And then probably like 4 to 6 weeks in, like, clothes are fitting better. I'm moving better. I'm sleeping better. Did you say mind chicanery?
Chicanery. Like, you know, mind Try not to use the four-letter word. Mind, shenanigans, okay. You know, like skullduggery, like, you know, mind games.
I mean, I don't really feel like I had a lot of mind games going on around this time. I made it a habit. I signed up for my sessions and came in here. Another big thing was my sleep. I really started to focus on my sleeping. And I know that you had mentioned, like, let's try an experiment. I want you to put an ice pack on your stomach when you go to sleep. So I did. Went home and I freezed a big Ziploc bag of water. And for, I can't even tell you how many weeks. It was probably actually 2 months. I did that. And I noticed, like, I slept so much better. I woke up feeling energized, ready to go. I mean, it was just amazing. I don't think I put any kind of pressure on myself to, like, you know, it's been 8 weeks. Why don't I have a six pack? I mean, I came from like 200 pounds.
Right.
So
you focused on the process as opposed to the actual goal.
Yes.
That's smart. And you know, the funny thing is that's a neat little hack. More honking. That's a neat little hack that you can do with people is that, you know, one of the ways you can sleep deeper is by dropping your core temperature a little bit. So if you just take a gel pack or like she did, fill a Ziploc bag up with water and you just put that on your stomach, you know, you want to use a t-shirt or whatever so you don't get like frostbite on your skin. But it really, and it also is a ritual too. Like, so you do that, that's part of your sleep ritual and that really helps. And I think you started minding, you know, your light exposure, getting outside a lot more because how many times do I talk about sleep and going outside and not being a zoo animal?
All the time.
I know. It's a broken record, isn't it? But, you know, what people don't understand about, you know, making changes, fundamentals is the key. And I mean, how many people out there actually drink enough water? How many people out there actually eat a protein in every meal? How many people out there actually go outside for a significant amount of time every day? Just about nobody. So, but everybody's looking for this magic fix. But they don't have these basic fundamental things down. And then once you get these fundamental things down, it kind of creates ripple effects that kind of just, everything just starts falling into place. It's like Michael Jordan said, if you focus on the fundamentals, that opens up everything to you. And that's part of the problem today is people don't focus on the basics and getting the basics right and being super almost religious about the fundamentals. Sleep and walking outside and getting your water and some sort of stress management, but they worry about everything else. You know, it's kind of like worrying about like your tinted windows on your car when you have no tires on it, you know? So this doesn't make any sense. So at what point did you make the transition? You know, Stash did her first powerlifting meet actually yesterday. She did an incredible job. She squatted 275. In her first meet, benched 154.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 154. And then she pulled 303 so easy that I decided to go to 330, which is a little aggressive. she missed that, but she had an incredible first meet, absolutely rocked it, did an incredible job and had a good time. Had a blast,
oh,
right?
Oh, yes. Yeah. It was awesome.
We had three other girls competing, too. One name was Leah. It was her first meet, and she did great. And then Heather Perry and Rebecca, and they both, you know, pulled well over 300 pounds very, very well. And the interesting thing about those two is they do not have, you know, what you would call an ideal body for powerlifting. You know, they just have a different type of body type, and that's cool. I mean, you can, that's a really nice thing I like about using like powerlifting or strength training is that I control the weight that's in your hands. And so it's something I can control and I can have people lift within their ability, which allows us to stay healthier and something that you can do sustainably for a long period of time. So when did you switch? When did we flip the switch to more of a serious kind of lifting kind of deal in your mind? When did you get serious about that?
Well, I came up on my last couple of free sessions with you. And I asked you, like,
well, they weren't free. You paid
well,
for
I mean,
already.
I paid, yeah, but right. I call them free.
Okay.
yes, I had already paid for them. But so I came up on my last couple sessions and I was like, where do I go from here? You know, what are my options? And, you know, he kind of rattled off, like group training or the, you know, semi-privates. He's like, or if you're interested, I think you move well enough,
And
you're strong enough that you could try powerlifting, see how you like it. If you don't like it, you know, you're not obligated to do it, but try it and let me know. So I think right then and there, like, my heart started, like, beating real fast because
That happens a lot to women who are around me.
I had no idea even what, like, powerlifting meant, but I know that, you know, the 6 months that I spent in here, you know, all these really strong females coming in here smashing weights and just killing it, I was like, okay, I'll try it. So that was probably end of April, May of 2018.
That sounds about right. You know, I think a big misconception about me is, you know, people hear me talk about rest more and take, you know, all this kind of stuff. They think that all we do is like hum and like beat drums and like walk around in a circle in the sunshine. We work hard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and we train hard. And but the difference is that if you're in a bad place, we're going to adjust and we're going to make sure that you're making an effort to take care of yourself. And we're not just going to beat you up for the sake of beating you up. Would that be a good assessment?
Correct. I can't tell you how many times I've either had a bad night's sleep or I've had a terrible day. And, you know, I might not openly say, oh, it's been a terrible night. And I might come in here and be told, you know, pull this or squat this, and it just feels like 500 pounds.
Right.
So I've learned.
And then what do we do on days like that? Like, what happens?
Oh, we take it down.
Yeah, we just work where you can work, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or we just, you know, like you had your little neck tweak.
Find different ways.
Yeah, she tweaked her neck. You know, she pulled a couple heavy deadlifts, and then she went out and played golf, so we really don't know what happened, but she ended up tweaking her neck. And so we belt squatted mm-hmm. for that week and got the bar off her back. And I sent her to one of my buddies, James Escalone, and he worked on her. And, you know, we still trained hard. We just got the bar off her back and out of her hands for a week or two. And she was able to do her meet with no problems, right?
Absolutely.
So you have to be flexible. You have to be adjustable. And you have to work with what the body's giving you. And that's one of the biggest misconceptions that people have about me. But the reason I harp on the lifestyle part so much is because that's what the number one neglected thing is. You know, people just don't take care of themselves, and then they think they can basically beat themselves into shape, and it just doesn't work like that. So tell me about your meat prep and, like, how did that go for you? I mean, you made really nice progress all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
How did that go for you?
Meat prep was awesome. And of course, I mean, I follow powerlifters on Instagram and they all talk about the, post meat blues. So I'm getting ready to experience that, I think, because,
I don't think so.
Well, you know, I mean, going from coming in here, I think probably every week I PR'd on every single one of my lifts, as long as we were going heavy.
Right.
So physically I came in here and I made massive gains.
But here's the clarification. Was that PR really hard? Like, when you PR'd in the gym, was it really hard? Like,
no.
Was it difficult? Was
no.
it like, like, was it nine? Was it like nine plus effort?
No.
This is probably about eight effort, right?
Yes.
And what we would do when we hit that, we would do what?
Stop.
Yes. Right?
Right.
Because what if we grind it out? Is that a bee or a fly?
I don't know.
Okay. It's gone, whatever it is. So I gave you, you get your PR, then we stop, then you still have somewhere to go.
Right. Right?
Mm-hmm. But if I push you to the point that you're right on the edge of where you're capable, you don't have anywhere to go.
Right.
Right. So you want to just kind of, you know, you want to save the PRs for the meet. Right?
Yes.
But if you are making PRs in the gym and you make a little PR, you shut it down, and you save the PR for the next time. And, you know, we generally, when we're getting ready for a meet, especially with newbies, we generally want the effort to be like 8. And we want it to be clean. We want it to be smooth. We want the technique to be flawless. And that way, when they go to the meet, you know, their technique is perfect. And you'll see that a lot at the meet. You'll see these girls on their opener that they're using strategies that you would normally use on, like, your third attempt that you're going for a 20-pound record right off the gate in the warm-up. And, you know, when you overreach too much and you're having to resort to strategies of, like, jamming your back together to, you know, to get your stability and doing some crazy stuff in your technique to get the weight up, that's going to basically become your default. And you want your default to be the best leverage and the best technique possible, because in the long run, if you look at the great Russian powerlifters, they're from the bar all the way to their record or their PR looks exactly the same. And you have to ingrain that in people, and it takes patience, and it's hard, especially when you're like, oh, that was a personal record, I want to go up some more. No, we're going to stop there and we're going to save it for later. That's really hard for people to understand. So
patience is probably the biggest thing that I've learned with this, and it's the most enjoyable thing, even though, like, you know, you're making gains or whatever. And I come here because I trust you to tell me what to do, and if that means, you know, only pulling 135 for 5, whatever, I'll do it.
with strength training, let me add to that. Yeah.
But I think that's probably one of the hardest things, too, for some people to grasp, depending on what they're looking for.
Yes.
But...
Well, and that's a hard thing, too, is what are people actually looking for? And for most women are looking... They're just looking to look good and feel better. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, my job is to pick the right things for them to give them what they want that's sustainable. And a lot of times it's educating people on, you know, what's going to give them what they want with the least amount of time possible. So how did tell me about your, you know, first meet experience, and then also, like, kind of the girls in the gym and how they supported you getting ready for your first meet, and how did that go for you mentally?
So, you know, the first couple weeks were pretty low key. And I think, like, towards week 8, I don't know, I'm probably wrong about this, but we kind of got a little group chat going, kind of figuring out what to do, signing up. I was not a member of USAPL, so doing the membership for that and then signing up for the actual meet. I mean, I think I started sending a chat messages to everybody at like 7 a.m. when I was signing up for it, asking questions like, what weight class do I pick, and I'm so confused, and what are these lifts? And Suzanne was awesome. I mean, she was pretty much right on the money with giving me answers, and then talking about singlets, and Suzanne again comes in with the win and offers to order one for me off of Amazon and have it shipped to her, so that I didn't have to. She would pick the one for me. I'd tell her my size, give her my money, this, that, and the other. Jim had some knee sleeves I could borrow. He had all the other equipment that we needed. And then it was just, you know, coming in here and, you know, kind of asking questions when I felt like I had a question, and everybody was super helpful. Rachel, you know, I think, I don't know, a week, probably the week out, asking her about snacks, like, what kind of snacks do I bring? I ended up bringing a cooler, which was like the size of a refrigerator, full of food, and I didn't even eat all of it. But, and then I know, I mean, Rachel called me, so we could talk about just a few other, like, loose ends, and then messaging Heather and Rebecca and Leah about meeting times, and, you know, like, what do you eat before, the night before a meet, and, like, the night before, we were kind of talking about everything that we were eating, and
nothing that you would normally not eat.
Correct.
Yeah, you don't want to
actually
like,
eat Chipotle.
Yeah, there you go. You don't want to eat like something you haven't eaten in a long time, like the night before. That's something on a sidetrack, actually. You'll get these kids that have been eating nothing but like McDonald's, and then they'll try to eat healthy like right before a game, and then of course it will just light them up. And I'd be like, if you've been eating McDonald's all week, then you need to eat McDonald's as your pregame meal, because like there's nothing worse than changing your diet the day of a competition.
Correct. And I didn't change my diet.
Smart.
So that was good.
Well, how did the meet go for you? How did that go?
Oh, it was excellent. I felt like, you know, the check-in was smooth. I was definitely nervous. I think one of the last things I said to the girls on Friday night was holy adrenaline. That was a message that I sent. And Heather Perry was like, go lay over a ball. And I was like, I'm already in bed. And I mean, it was like 8:30. Because I knew I was going to have a hard time sleeping that night. And it probably took me about 3 hours to go to sleep. But it was just awesome. I hate wearing that singlet. But I think everybody does. But, you know, Jim kind of told us what our openers were going to be, and I felt super confident with my squat, and I knew that if I could get my first squat and not screw up the commands, not screw up the lift, that I think, you know, my adrenaline would kind of kick down a little bit and everything else would be smooth sailing. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, the training just takes over. Mm-hmm. Like, as soon as you get to the meet, we've been doing it over and over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And it just takes over once you get through that first squat. And that's why you want to put something on the bar that's super easy. And then, you know, it's part of your warm-up, essentially. And then it just kind of all goes from there. And it just kind of blurs by. Let's talk a little bit about how important you think it's been for you to get in mentally, get in a good place so you could physically be in a better place, because your before and after is pretty dramatic. Talk about the process that you went through when you first came in, where you were mentally and how that looked for you and how that's evolved and where it's at today. And, you know, people need to be made aware, like, you know, all of a sudden you've gotten this goal or you look better and you feel better. It doesn't end there. Like, people are going to have ebbs and flows. They're going to look, you know, they're going to change, you know, their weight's going to fluctuate. Their body composition is going to fluctuate. That's just natural. That just happens. And people got to understand, my big thing is to get people to understand that when things aren't going the way you want them to go, instead of adding more intensity, it might do that sometimes. Let's make sure we aren't slacking on our self-care. Because what happens is a lot of people, they're like, oh, I'm in a better place, so I'm just going to let all this stuff slide. And then they kind of go off the reservation a little bit. And they think, well, I can get back on the reservation by upping the intensity. When it should be, well, my sleep has been, you know, shitty for the last 3 weeks. It should be, I'm going to work on, you know, getting outside more. I've kind of slacked on that. Or I've been staring at YouTube at 11 o'clock at night, or Snappy Chatty or Twitter or whatever. Trying to, you know, I want people to be like, okay, I'm not where I want to be right now, but I'm going to work on self-care instead of adding intensity to get where I want to be.
Yeah. So, at the start, my self-care was in the tubes. I mean, when I was at my heaviest, I was working my night shift, 3:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. I didn't have any time to, like, hang out with friends. I mean, my clock was so screwed up that pretty much every day after work, I'd go to the liquor store and I'd get me a whole sleeve of Fireball, which is about 10 shots.
If you're going to do it, you might as well do it right.
Do it bigger. Go bigger, go home. So I would come home. And I'd let my dog out. I don't even know if I would eat dinner some of the times because...
You probably got enough calories in that Fireball for dinner.
And I would just start slamming shots. I probably was at a worse place than what I actually think that I was. But, I mean, every single night. And, you know, there were some times when I was, like, just absolutely hammered and probably didn't look like I was because I had gotten so used to drinking so much. I was going to counseling. First I was going like twice a week, and those were for like hour long sessions. And I'm not saying that that wasn't helpful, because it was. But I know, you know, with him, I was bringing up like I'm drinking a whole lot. And I mean, it was kind of about three or four sessions that I went to see him, and I kept bringing up my alcohol use. And I mean, I wasn't even concerned with sleeping or anything. And it is true that when you're intoxicated, your sleep is terrible. But so he kind of passed over a pamphlet, and he's like, no pressure, but here's some AA AA places that you can go. I think it might be, you know, worth your while to look into it, and you know, it's totally up to you. But and I was like, this is not me. So that's kind of where I was at my heaviest. I can't tell you really what I was thinking. It was more like I felt like I had no life.
You were self-medicating.
I was self-medicating. And like I said, probably at a worse place than what I
will admit.
But then, you know, I come in here and I'm seeing changes, and I'm really one of the things that, like, Jim talks a lot about light, but I think for me, one of the bigger things was my sleep, because I had gone for, 13 years rotating between day shift, night shift. Going to school full-time, working full-time, having to stay up until 4 a.m. to write a paper. So that was something that I really put as a priority for me. And, I mean, if 9 o'clock hit and, you know, I had something to do, I would put it off. And I would be okay with putting it off. But so that just... Once I started working on my sleep, I just felt so much better mentally. And going to bed at a decent time, I mean, it really, like, you know, stopped using alcohol for...
Medication.
For medication. And, I mean, I still drink, but, right. You know, now it's different. And, you know, he talks about the you know, ebbs and flows of body and this, that, and other, and I definitely experience it, and I'm okay with it, because I'm absolutely fine with where I'm at. When I post a lot on Instagram, but the one day when I posted my transition picture, I was just looking at like all these pictures that I had been tagged in, and I saw that and I was like, oh my God, this is crazy. And, you know, throughout meat prep, well, back in May, I think I probably weighed the least I've weighed, since becoming an adult. And I probably have gained about 7 pounds, but I've been focused on like fueling my body and not stressing out about, you know, staying at a smaller weight. It obviously worked to my advantage, because lift 275 pounds.
Yeah, no, it's good. But that's one of the reasons I like powerlifting for women, is because it focuses more on a performance goal than an aesthetic goal.
Right.
And when you focus on getting healthy, the aesthetic stuff just kind of takes care of itself. And then with powerlifting, I can add accessory work in that women like, you know, things like RDLs and things like that, that's going to give them the glutes and hamstrings and the legs they like. And it just, you know, it makes the shape you already have better. Like, it makes you, you know, a better version of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the reasons I like it, as opposed to obsessing over measurements and that sort of thing. And, you know, when you focus on the process, good things happen. And it's much more mentally satisfying, because you wake up one day and you look at yourself and you're like, whoa, I'm a different person. Instead mm-hmm. of focusing on, you know, the weight loss or the size loss or whatever, you're focusing on the process, and then one day you just wake up and you get what you want. And that, right. I think that's a much more sustainable way to go about things, in my opinion anyways.
Oh, for sure. Like I said, I mean, I'm fine with where I'm at. I know that there's always, you know, room for improvement. Right. If I want to clean something up, I can. I've done it before, so I can focus on that when I'm ready to. But to have been able to lose 36 pounds over 2 years and relatively stay within that range is, I mean, for me, that's amazing. Yeah.
Well, and the healthier you are, the more you can get away with, you know, and that's what people don't realize is that once you get yourself in a good place, then you can kind of figure out what you can get away with and what you're comfortable with, and that way you don't have to live a life where you're counting like grains of rice with a pair of tweezers, right. You know? So, is there anything you wanted to say in closing? I really appreciate you being on here. You've been a great addition to the gym and to the team, and just a joy to have around. And I really appreciate you sharing your story, because I don't think people really understand how much like mental health plays a role in where you are physically and vice versa. They kind of feed off each other. And also, you know, where do you think you would have ended up if you would have continued to do like high intensity type training stuff, if you in that, you know, in that dark place where you were at, where you were doing, you know, fireball and all that? What do you think would have happened to you if you would have kept pushing?
I mean, I don't know what would have happened to me, but I'm glad I'm not going to experience it. Because I don't think it would have turned out well. But, you know, this whole experience has been absolutely amazing. And, you know, I kind of call you my new counselor. But the other good thing, coming in here and just doing the work and, you know, being satisfied with your workout and leaving with plenty of gas in the tank, I've kind of become like my own counselor. I don't rely on anybody to make me happy or to fulfill, you know, some part of my life. If somebody likes me, they like me. If they don't, they don't. I have gotten really good at minding my own business and keeping my mouth shut.
Would you say you're more an observer now than you are a participant?
Yes.
Yeah, and that's key. The more you can be an observer, the less emotional you become, and the more easier it is to make decisions based on what's best for you, as opposed to being drawn into things. And that was something I had to learn too, is I had to learn how to treat life like a movie, where you watch it and you're like, oh, that's not good. But it's not like a judgy thing, you know, it's just an observation. And a lot of people don't understand that. When you actually allow yourself to get drawn in, that's why social media is so bad. You get drawn into that emotional response, and then all of a sudden you're doing things without an observation or a choice. It's just, you do it. Mm-hmm. Now if you want to drink, it's because you want to have a glass of wine to enjoy yourself. Before it was like, I'm going to shoot all these shots just to basically medicate myself. It was a reaction as opposed to a choice, mm-hmm. You know? So.
Yeah. And I have a great support group outside of the gym. But I do spend a lot of my time here, and people probably call me crazy. I mean, but it averages out to like 7 hours a week. But this is where I feel.
You don't spend 7 hours a week here.
My workouts take like 2 hours.
Oh yeah, that was because
But I mean, sometimes I'll have
accessory
to hurry
work, warm up, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, okay. But fair enough.
This is
when you're getting ready for a meet too. Like squatting takes a lot, and you're also strong as hell. So it's not like you're warming up and your work sets are like, you know, in 5 minutes. You know you're squatting and warming up and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I would say you probably spend 6 hours a week.
Yeah, that's but fair. I mean, and that's like, you know, I kind of give up doing things with my friends
you got friends here.
Well, I have friends. I definitely have friends here. And I'm not I'm not saying that I don't do anything with my friends, but I've learned to be selfish because I spent so many years not being selfish and not taking care of myself. I said yes way too many times for stuff that never was going to benefit me emotionally, financially, you know, whatever. So now if I have to turn down an offer to hang out with people, that's what I do, because if I know I have something I have to do the next day, I don't want to go in there feeling like crap and doing it.
Cool.
So it's just, it's fulfilled so much of my life, and it's, I mean, it's taught me, you said, I don't know how many months ago this was, but women no longer need to rely on somebody to take care of them. And I mean, like, I'm still progressing, but that has like come to fruition. Like, I see it. I don't need anybody to help me with anything. I can do whatever I want, whenever I want, feel good about it,
and
take care of myself.
Yeah, our culture has changed. You know, 150 years ago, you had to have, the way our culture was set up, you had to have a support, like a guy or somebody, you know, you had to have somebody to support you. And our culture is totally different now. And so a lot of times, people latch on to people that aren't necessarily good for them, you know, emotionally. And you need to get healthy first. And then if you choose to align yourself with a teammate or a partner, it's on your terms and not basically because you're codependent on them.
Correct.
That's basically where I'm going at. And, you know, I'm glad you brought up the putting yourself first, because, you know, when you're on an airplane, and this is the hardest thing to get people to understand, especially women, because most women are taking care of everyone else in their lives except themselves. When that oxygen mask drops down on the plane, they always tell you to put it on yourself, because if you're helping the person next to you and you pass out, then you're both dead, right? So, but if you put the oxygen mask on yourself, then you can help the person next to you put the oxygen mask on your kid or whatever. So you've got to make sure that you make time for you so you can, and I fall into the same trap. I mean, one of the reasons that I'm so good at what I do is because this has been a lifelong struggle for me too. I love helping other people, but I can't neglect my own self-care or else I end up crashing and burning. And one of the reasons I relate to a lot of these women that I deal with is because I have crashed and burned multiple times. So once again, thank you for being on.
I really
appreciate your honesty, and I have no doubt that this interview will help a lot of people. And you know, if you know somebody that might benefit by this interview, please share it with them. Check out my new website, jimlaird.com.